Hey, you want that to go?
Our news takeoffs begin with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. And, you know, Todd, it is something of a surprise, it seems to me, with everything that happened on health care reform, to see this financial regulatory overhaul bill on the Senate floor so quickly. Does it surprise you at all?
It doesn't really, because, John, the problem with Wall Street disintegration was so very bad and reverberated so many places of the economy that these are the places where people feel like Congress really needs to act. You know, there was a huge debate, well, healthcare, it's okay. We don't need to do it now. We can do it in a stepwise fashion. I don't think anybody feels that way about Wall Street. So people feel it needs to be changed.
The crisis mentality is actually helping. All right, if I'm an investor and I'm watching this debate, what's in the balance? Where are the flashpoints, the disagreement points, and where are Republicans and Democrats seeing eye to eye?
Well, I think one of the big flashpoints for investors today, everybody's watching the world, the murky world of derivatives today, because the Senate Agriculture Committee is going to be marking up the derivatives portion of this bill. And, you know, the estimates of this industry, John, the derivatives industry is in the neighborhood of $500 or $600 trillion. I can't even wrap my head around a number that big. But what they're talking about, and investors are watching this, would do a couple of things. There's over-the-counter derivatives are a huge chunk of derivatives that are essentially unregulated. And what they want to do with this bill is say, you have to clear all these deals, all these transactions through a third party. And a third party, they're called clearinghouses. And what that means is you have to have more transparency on the deal. You have to have margin. Go ahead, John.
Right. So within the clearinghouses, we're going to be able to see what the transaction is all about, even though it may be created somewhere murky. It's got to clear in a place that's transparent.
It's got to pass through the sunlight.
Got it.
You got to have more. You got to have more margin requirements so that if the derivative goes bad, everybody knows that everyone will get paid. You got to be able to cover your losses. You know, the Congressional Research Service says if they had this kind of transparency and these kinds of margin requirements, AIG never would have been able to expose itself to the tune of $2 trillion. It never would have happened because they would have run out of money way sooner and everybody would have been fine.
You know, you're talking about what came out of the Agriculture Committee. Blanche Lincoln, the chairman, is going to present a bill that talks about some of these things. There is also, interestingly, forcing banks to unwind their derivative accounts or they're going to maybe lose their FDIC insurance. That's an interesting regulation.
Right. Well, it basically says the big banks can't be both a derivatives dealer and a traditional bank. Traditional bank being where you and I go to get money out of the ATM or put our deposits. You can't be both. Now, you sort of can be both, but you have to put the derivatives business into a separate subsidiary so that if it goes south, if it's exposed to another disintegration of the derivatives market, it won't affect the traditional banking business. What happened this time was the losses reverberated throughout the banking business and throughout the economy. So if you want to be a traditional bank with FDIC protection, you know, you can get that. What are our accounts assured for? $250,000 or something like that?
That's right.
If you want to have that kind of protection, it can't be in the same pot as the derivatives like they are now. So
well, as you point out, Todd, there's a lot on the table regarding derivatives. Each one of these points is going to be debated. There's disagreement on every single one. There's also disagreement on the issue of this bailout fund, this too-big-to-fail fund that the finance industry is going to create. Republicans have sort of said, we don't want that kind of a bailout fund. That's going to be part of the debate. But I'm surprised to hear this from Senator Mitch McConnell.
Serious talks are presumed. We had a chance to get a report from Senator Shelby and others at lunch today, and I'm convinced now that there's a new element of seriousness attached to this rather than just trying to score political points.
Before we go, Todd, does this mean this debate is going to be something really to tune into? It's going to be meaty? It's going to have substance?
Well, it means everybody's coming back to the table. The derivatives part that'll be in the news today is still contentious, but it seems like everybody's coming back to the table and everybody realize you talk about too big to fail. It seems like Wall Street regulation for Congress is too big to fail. Nobody wants to be on the losing side of this.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Our next takeout is yours. What has you talking? It's been a while since I did an internship, but it turns out...
Where did you find that?
I didn't. It was the geniuses in our control room.
Right.
But it turns out that unpaid internships have a lot of people talking.
If you're an intern
and your employer asks you to do something, anything shy of sexual harassment or just plain out abuse, you do it. Because in the end, you would be hired. Whatever your employer says you have to do, you're going to do anyway. And this whole idea of, oh, you know, seek legal counsel for what? At some point in time, you have to realize it's not easy out there.
That was Hector in New York.
You get him
called
here
us
as an
at
intern.
8778 like, MyTake. Absolutely, and ask him for coffee.
Right.
You can also contribute it at thetakeaway.org, which is what Jennifer did. She said, unless they follow very specific educational guidelines, unpaid internships are illegal, period. As the mother of a daughter in college who works, does exceptionally well in school, and has received grants for research, I would never recommend that she submit to an unpaid internship.
There's certainly a tension there. What also has you talking is risk. Like, would you have flown in Europe with volcanic ash in the air just to get home? We asked what risks in your life you have taken, and it seems like there's a lot of risk-taking over in Detroit, of all places.
Hi there, this is Jason from Detroit. The crazy risk I take is I commute on motorcycles in the summertime, and I live in Detroit, which can be sort of an aggressive place to ride. But it's a risk I've trained for, and it's a risk I love.
As you know, Celeste, the cars rule in Detroit for a whole variety
not
of reasons.
Not as bad as
that's
Boston.
Right.
Way's
that's,
Boston
well,
scary.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. Maybe we'll hear from some Bostonians. Amy posts to our site, I moved into Detroit. I have never seen so many perplexed and frightened faces from suburban family and friends. It was one of the best moves I've ever made, though, and it's exciting to be part of a city ready, willing, and making changes. Thanks, Amy.
Love for the D. Finally, another conversation to weigh in on. Swearing. We can't curse on the air, of course, but at least we can share your stories about it.
This is Bob Rasick from New York City, and I'm always surprised at how curses drift. I'm thinking of a story I heard in an interview with Duke Ellington. Someone asked him why he never used the word jazz to describe his music, and he said rather indignantly, because when I was in my youth, the word jazz was a euphemism for sexual intercourse. I wonder how many people know that's the origin of the word jazz. I hear the F word drifting a bit in this culture. I wonder if it'll ever wind up in the same category as jazz.
And all that jazz. Keep it coming at 8778MYTAKE or thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.